WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
British novelist and travel writer Bruce Chatwin died last Tuesday at the age of 48. Chatwin began his writing career by deciding to quit his job. He pulled up stakes to travel, to write the stories he found and those that found him. Chatwin's 1977 book, In Patagonia, chronicled his solitary journey through South America. The book brought him instant recognition, but he kept traveling. Ironically, his passion for exploration also led to his death. Chatwin died from a rare bone disease he caught while traveling in western China, which progressively disabled him. He just completed a set of essays called What Am I Doing Here? His most recent book, Utz, is a novel published just last week. English writer Andrew Harvey once wrote in the New York Times, "Nearly every writer of my generation in England wanted at some point to be Bruce Chatwin. From Mr. Chatwin, we learned to dare to be obsessive, irregular, learned, exotic." Chatwin spoke with Terry Gross in 1987, following the publication of Songlines about Australian Aborigines. He told Terry that his restlessness, his urge to travel, originated in childhood.
I was brought up wandering around wartime England in that very, very highly charged atmosphere. I was born in 1940. My first recollections are of the Battle of Alamein, of hearing Winston Churchill coming through one of those brown plastic radios and then dancing around with my mother. I was hanging onto my grandmother's legs and her stockings fell down. I deeply remember. That's one of my first recollections. But we lived out of a suitcase. All my early recollections are of, kit bags coming through windows, blackouts, and all those kind of exciting things. And we, from one set of rented rooms to another, all through wartime England. And when we then settled down after the war in those rather grim post-war years in a house for the first time, it wasn't much of a house because we had no money, I associated settlement with some kind of terrible depression. And I think whenever I've got holed up, as it were, then my way of solving my particular crises is to move.
Well, you spent part of your early adulthood working at Sotheby's, the famous art auction house.
Yeah.
And I think you directed the Impressionism department for a while.
Roughly, yes.
But
there were others.
You gave up that life. You had a very good position.
Oh, yes.
What was there a turning point for you where you decided to give up a regular working job and to ditch it all so you could go travel?
Well, put it this way. My mother, when I left school, I wanted to travel in Africa. My mother didn't actually like the idea. My parents didn't quite like the idea of their 18-year-old son sort of dashing around Africa. But they sort of said, well, okay, fine. You could go and work in Sotheby's as a porter for a little while, and then if you don't like it, then you can go. But just sort of give it a try. So I went and I worked as a porter, and then I became a kind of instant expert. Those were the days in the art business when nobody seemed to know very much. Within a matter of no time, I was pronouncing with sort of insufferable arrogance on the authenticity of paintings, whether they were genuine or not, I don't know. But nevertheless, I had this career in the art business. But then I got a kind of psychosomatic eye complaint. My right eye went rather funny. And the eye surgeon to whom I went in London said, Bruce, I think you've been looking too closely at pictures. There's nothing wrong with you organically. Why don't you swap them for some long horizons? Where would you like to go? So I said, Africa, which was the place which I'd somehow been prevented from going to before. So I went to Africa, and then I saw nomad peoples for the first time, and I felt it was quite wonderful the way in which my travelling companions had this immense pride in having nothing, whereas all our pride, or my particular pride up till then, had been towards accumulation of things and everything else.
Had you been collecting a lot of art?
Oh, yes. I had a wonderful group of things, even bought on a shoestring, but I had things which would today be worth I don't know what.
Most of us, when we travel, take suitcases of clothes and books, and I know some people who even take television sets and video cassette recorders so they can catch up on movies when they're traveling.
God help them, yes, God help them.
Do you travel light?
Oh, absolutely. I have a little sort of rucksack. This is, I suppose, a bit of a show-off remark, but the great and wonderful French actor, Jean-Louis Barrault, was somebody I met. I met him on a plane, and he had at his feet the most beautiful leather rucksack, very, very small. I mean, tiny, really tiny. And I asked him about it, and he said, I've got an apartment in Paris. I live there with my wife and everything else. But actually, this object, which I bought to go on a walking tour when I was 16 in the Tyrol in the 30s, is my home. And I have to say that I copied that, and I had one made, and it's a kind of pillow, comforter. There's a slot in the side for a bottle. When I went to Patagonia, I put a half bottle of rather good champagne in the pocket for the worst possible moment. And otherwise, I really take nothing, hardly anything in it, just a change of warm clothes, and I'm off. And one watches, if you go into those wild places, you watch, very often you find expeditions of university expedition to this and that, with a lot of very bad-tempered people, all looking around a Land Rover which has got stuck in the dust or the mud, and I must say I'm thankful for my little rucksack that enables me to go on to the next thing.
I love this idea of having a little bottle of champagne for the worst possible moment. what was the occasion for actually drinking it?
In Tierra del Fuego, which is one of the most sort of grisly, but it isn't so cold, but it's pretty wet. There's a constant storm going, a constant rainstorm, and I did I was crossing one of those kind of corrugated paths of logs across a swamp, and one of the logs got dislodged, and I went in. I never thought that I'd actually come out again, this glutinous black mud, and covered to foot, from head to foot, quite cold, in the middle of absolutely nowhere. That is the moment when I sat down and drank my half bottle.
Did it taste good?
Delicious. Krug is an excellent mark.
Writer Bruce Chatwin spoke with Terry Gross in 1987. Chatwin died last Tuesday at the age of 48 of a rare disease he caught while traveling in western China.